Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jordan Hill. With me, as always, is Rusty Mansell. Rusty, a very special Friday morning, man. High school football is back. How are you feeling getting ready for a big Friday night?
God, sixth or seventh grade Rusty would be just through the roof right now, thinking I'm going to be on TV for probably about 9 hours a day. But 49-year-old Rusty is not ecstatic. It's going to be a long one.
It's going to be a long one, but man, I'm sure you're just as excited. Last night when I got back from the football complex after doing interviews, man, I had NFHS pulled up. I was looking at who all was playing. I'm excited. It's an exciting time of year. High school football gets started. And then, you know, about a week from now, we're going to have college football games. And then week after that, we'll see Georgia back on the field.
I mean, I just saw a thing today. It says Vanderbilt plays Hawaii next Saturday night at 10:30. So, I mean, that's exciting. Good friend of mine, you know, Barton Simmons is the general manager there in Nashville. So look forward to an SEC team 8 days away from playing college football.
It's going to be here before you know it. Well, let's jump right into it, Rusty. It's been a busy August for Georgia. They passed what was essentially the halfway mark of fall camp on Thursday. We had a chance to talk to a few players after that. So, I mean, essentially – they're working down what is left of fall camp. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, and we can break down various parts of what we've seen, what we've heard. But I'll start with you, Rusty. What have been some of the takeaways from what you've heard and what you've been hearing around the program about how fall camp has gone? Particularly anyone who you feel like has really stood out as Georgia, you know, continues working, getting ready for that September 3rd game against Oregon.
One thing, I think, did the school start Monday, Jordan? Is that when school
started? I think it actually started on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
So the guys are now out of the hotel, and they're back into the 20-hour, you know, quote-unquote 20-hour week. So, you know, so if you use the term camp, that's kind of over with. Georgia's now into normal practices and normal season procedure type things, and which is crazy. Oregon doesn't start school, I think, September 27th, 28th, which is unreal this day and age. So, We'll see how that goes into this game. But I think, you know, talking to a lot of people and, you know, the kind of vibe around the University of Georgia, I think the continued vibe is the way Kirby Smart has changed this roster, how different Georgia looks. You know, it lost what the most NFL draft picks in the history of the NFL draft, I think. And they got some good looking dudes still. Now they got to replace some guys, a lot of experience, a lot of, you know, time on the field, leaders, those types of things. But like physical bodies, length, size, large humans, man, Georgia looks the part for sure. I think Darnell Washington's the guy that I continue to hear, you know, a lot of buzz about. You know, this is his third year there. He's trying to stay healthy. Everything looks good from what I'm hearing. Had a couple big plays last week in the scrimmage and dragged some defenders 10, 15 yards just trying to get him down. But you know, the kind of the vibe on that is this guy is a one percentile type. You know, he's 6'7", 272 pounds. He's got an 83.5-inch wingspan, 10.5-inch hands. I mean, this guy, there's not many like him. So I think, you know, Brock Bowers is certainly worthy of every ounce of attention he gets. Eric Gilbert created some buzz this spring when Darnell was not in. But I think people what don't understand the day-to-day X and O value of Darnell Washington is the ability to attach to the line of scrimmage and block. You know, he's almost an NFL tackle. I mean, he's almost like a college football size tackle, you know. And so you can put him on the edge against a guy like Will Anderson and try to help in those situations and also become a pass, you know, a weapon in the pass game. And if Darnell Washington continues at this pace to take the step I think he's taking, man, he is going to be absolutely invaluable for Georgia to take some of that off of Brock Bowers and attention. And when they go 12 personnel, even when they go 13 personnel with Eric Gilbert at some point, Georgia's going to be a handful to deal with schematic-wise with those big athletic tight ends.
I was really struck. We got a chance to talk to Brock Bowers on Tuesday, which was the first time he's been made available since he's been at Georgia. And someone asked about Darnell. And I mean, you look at Brock and I mean, he doesn't quite have the size of a Darnell. He's like, yeah, I'll be out, you know, lined up out there. And I look up and I'm looking up at Darnell like, man, that is a big old dude. So to hear a guy as productive as Brock was, obviously, you know, I think, you know, especially with the way Eric plays.
It surprises you the size of Bowers, doesn't it?
That was the first time I
not that big. I mean,
that was the very first time, you know, obviously since I came on in February that I've talked to him and I was sort of, yeah, I was like, oh, okay, that's Brock that was walking over there for us to talk to. But that just speaks to how productive he was last season. Yeah. But, you know, I think we kind of, everybody was a little bit guilty of forgetting about Darnell by the fact that he didn't get to go through spring.
Right.
And obviously, we know what Brock did, and we know what Eric was able to do in the spring. But this guy was a five-star. I mean, this guy was, you know, obviously a very talented guy when he got to Georgia and has just sort of dealt with injuries the last few years. But you could see that he's got a very big opportunity ahead of him. And you know, again, I'm struck by what Kirby said when fall camp opened. You know, I had asked him about Kyaris Jackson, and he kind of turned it and was talking about the receivers in general. It was like, these receivers aren't just competing against the other receivers. He's like, they're competing against these tight ends.
That's right.
There's opportunity to get those guys on the field, and you hear the buzz around Darnell. You can't really blame Kirby and Todd Monk and the rest of that staff, Todd Hartley as well, from, you know, seeing these guys and saying, hey, this may be our best shot. And these may be the guys we need to get on the field if we want to make big plays.
Oscar Delp. I mean, you know, everything I hear about Oscar Delp, he's holding his own. He had two touchdowns last week in the spring game, kind of, you know, running with the threes. But this is a kid that's extremely athletic. He doesn't have the top end speed of Brock Bowers. Not many do. But as far as hands, 6'5", a guy that's just a problem. You may not see Oscar Delp a ton, but I guarantee you Georgia knows what they have in him. And as the season unfolds, they're going to find a way to get Oscar Delp some touches. And I think this is a young man that this is the future tight end for Georgia. Darnell Washington probably gone after this year. Eric Gilbert could be. Brock Bowers will be back another year. So they're got some depth there, but don't let the young buck kind of slip under the radar. Oscar Delp is he was an All-American as well last year for a reason.
Yeah, and that was a huge pickup for Georgia, adding him to that tight end room. Wanted to talk a little bit too about someone we talked to last night after practice, a guy that was getting all the buzz during spring and has continued to be highly talked about, and that was Jamon Dumas Johnson. That was the first time we've had a chance to talk to Jamon, to talk to Pop. He explained his the nickname came from his mom. We'd been told that it was from all the hitting he was doing. He's like, no, that's something mom called me back in the day. But it was really good to listen to Jamon and just listen to the way he's approaching this fall camp. I mean, you know, he didn't really shy away from the fact that everybody knows that there's three inside linebackers that need to be replaced, three guys that wound up being, you know, drafted in the first three rounds. And from everything Jamon said, I mean, it seems like he's taken that on and taken it in stride. And, you know, I was struck a few weeks ago when we talked to Glenn Schumann. I asked him about Jamon, and he said, you know, he lived up to the challenge as far as summer conditioning, about taking that really seriously. And I asked Jamon about that, and he was like, I don't want to come off the field is essentially what he said. You know, sure. I don't want basically there be my conditioning to be a reason I'm not on the field. And I think, you know, it's going to be, you know, a work in progress for those guys. You know, we've heard basically it's been Jamon that, and even Kirby said Saturday, has probably been the most consistent of those inside linebackers. But they need other guys like Tresman Marshall, Smile Munden, Xavion Sori, some of those guys to step up to the challenge. But to hear a guy like Jamon, the way he talked, the way he's really approaching things, I think that has to have you excited. I think it's, you know, not going to be a seamless transition. Again, you just lost three guys that got picked in, I think, the first 102 picks of the draft. That's very, very difficult to replace that kind of production.
Yep.
But it seems like having a guy like Jamon, that's at least going to make that a little bit easier going into a new year.
I think Tresman Marshall's a guy that doesn't get enough attention. Now, he's been banged up. He's been hurt, too. He's kind of the same boat Darnell Washington. He's got to stay healthy. But, you know, I read everything, and you know, we get limited amount. And, Jordan, you get limited amount seeing things. We only get small sample sizes. But I'm telling you right now, Tresman Marshall, that's a guy that's not getting talked about enough. I feel confident that he will start. I think he's going to be a guy for Georgia this year. And watched him all the way in the state championship games when he was in high school. So, you know, he's South Georgia tough, man, and those kids are producing. And I think that Tresman Marshall's a guy that certainly can be a kind of a leader type guy that got to count on there. Another guy that's not getting enough attention, and you know, rightfully so, I haven't touched on him, Jordan. I don't think we've touched on him a ton, but I kind of heard through the radar that Robert Beal is a guy that's taken up a lot of leadership. You know, this guy's really – you know, Nolan Smith obviously is a guy that we know, and he's kind of that alpha mentality. But Robert Beal's a guy that's been vocal, you know, with that defense. And I think after that scrimmage last weekend, kind of the word on the street was Robert Beal got after some folks, and that's what you want to see from a six-year guy that's been around that chose to come back. That's what you want to hear. And I think Robert Beal and Tresman Marshall are two people that probably aren't getting the early season pub that might change as the season goes on.
Yeah, Kirby actually brought up Robert after that scrimmage and said he had had a really good camp to that point, and mentioned him yesterday in my practice report, or it might have actually been the observation story. Had a really nice pick. They were going through different defensive drills, and he was covering a wheel route and made a very nice interception on that play. So, again, a guy that very quietly led the team in sacks and obviously stepped up when Adam Anderson was out. You know, I think that's huge that he's coming back. Want to answer a question from Jordan Harrison, kind of related to with something else with fall camp. He asked, where is Ryan Davis in his recovery? So Ryan Davis had a leg injury last year. He had gone through the spring and had been, I think, relatively healthy. He has been working at least on Thursday. He was with some of the support staff, so I'm not sure if it's related to that injury. We don't know what injury he's dealing with. So that's one of the inside linebackers that, you know, could factor into the mix if he can stay healthy. And that's been another issue for him as well. And the thing that really Thursday's practice really allowed us to kind of check in on guys who weren't able to go in that scrimmage. And I thought, all things considered, the news was pretty good as far as Georgia goes. You know, Tate Ratledge was out there. He was not wearing a non-contact jersey. So he was back and at least working somewhat with that turf toe that he's got. You know, also, Ernest Green was out there. He was actually working with the support staff, not going through individuals, but he also not wearing a non-contact. Denylon Morissette, another receiver who we know they need these young guys to step up. You know, seeing him out there and at least getting some work on the field, working with the support staff, you know, that's also big as well. Just getting those guys healthy, you know, that's something that Kirby talked about before camp even started back at Media Days. He said, you know, that they felt good going into camp, but he said that's never what really matters. It's all about how you go through camp, make it through those 25 practices, getting ready for the start of a season.
A couple questions here. Brett asked me about Dan Jackson. I get a lot of questions about Dan Jackson, and just I think it's hard for people just to say, look, man, this guy's a walk-on. Why is he starting? This guy came to Georgia from Mercer. He's probably 112th out of 85 on the roster, and this guy started. This guy has started for Dan Lanning. This guy's going to start for Glenn Schumann and Will Muschamp. So You know, I think people need to move past the walk-on part. It happens. It happens. I mean, it happens everywhere. With teams just have a pop-up, don't have a walk-on at plays. And Dan Jackson's going to be a guy that's probably going to start, I would probably say, every game for a while. And he's also going to play all specialties. This kid that can run. I mean, this is a four, this is a high 4.4 kid, 4.5 flat kid that can run. And to have him on the back end of the defense for Kirby Smart tells you all you need to know. Those are the deals where, you know, did I know Dan Jackson in high school? Didn't have a clue who Dan Jackson is. Still don't have a great eval on him because I've never seen him camp. I've never got a chance to watch him. But you start talking about DB guys like Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp, those guys, they can evaluate DBs. So I think with Dan Jackson, kind of just relax a little bit, folks. Let this guy play. You know, he may not be an NFL prospect, but, you know, Chris Smith's probably not a big-time NFL prospect either, but the guy's playing his ass off for Georgia. And I think people get a little bit off topic, I would say, like, what's this guy going to do? All that matters is what this guy's doing for Georgia on Saturdays and how productive he is. Let the NFL stuff worry about the other things. So I think people get the walk-on just really makes people nervous with Dan Jackson. And I'll answer one more question. People are asking about what games I think's number one tonight. I'll give you a game to watch. Obviously, on paper, Buford is the defending 6A champion in Georgia. I think they're the best team in 7A, and they're going to play Thompson, Alabama, which is a freaking powerhouse at 5 o'clock today. That game, crazy as it sounds, is not on TV. Now, I will give you a game on TV that has some Georgia interest, some Georgia flavor. Today at 5:30 on Peachtree TV, I will be there, but you can stream it anywhere. Sakovi White is the 2024 wide receiver for Cass, and this young man is high on Georgia's board. He's worked out for Georgia twice. They offered him on the spot after watching him. He's going to get a ton of touches today for Cass. This is a guy that I really think I'm leaning more towards him being in the Georgia class in 2024. And tuck this name away. His name's Caden Lee. He's a 2023 wide receiver. Call him Honeycomb. He's got great hair, man. He's got hair up to here. He's been at Westlake and transferred over to Kennesaw Mountain. Had a great first week last week. Oklahoma and Ole Miss are really the schools right now. I think South Carolina with him at wide receiver. But seeing him last week told me a little something that, hey, Georgia stays in touch with me. So this is a guy, you watch him tonight, you might see two wide receivers that have legit Georgia interest, I would say. So if you want to watch a game tonight, and then obviously the Rome Creekside game is, I think it's the only game in the state, two top four teams. And God willing, that thing kicks off before 9:30. Y'all pray for me.
I know for sure. May have to stay up late on that one. Maybe get you a 5-hour energy, something like that.
I am for the first time in my life, and because I'm local, I am taking a coffee maker tonight.
Beautiful.
Not ashamed to say it. I am taking a coffee maker to that press box tonight.
Beautifully done. I want to make sure, too, before we went to break, that I mentioned another guy that was back on Thursday was Kendall Milton, a guy that I know a lot of people had a lot of questions about. Kirby had told us he was dealing with a grade one hamstring, said it was nothing too severe. To that point, he was back practicing, not in a non-contact jersey, working with individuals. Obviously, you got to feel good about that, having him back out there as well. So we'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit more about fall camp. And just, again, kind of continuing that countdown till we get to that first game against Oregon.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, yeah, like I said before the break, Saturday, Georgia's going to have their second scrimmage of fall camp. And Rusty, just how important is this scrimmage going to be for Georgia? You know, that last scrimmage was pretty much the first time a lot of these defenders have been able to tackle live, and that's something Kirby talked about in that moment, coming off of the scrimmage, that it's kind of hard to sort of judge what the defense does in that very first scrimmage. But how important is a second scrimmage at this point in fall camp? And if there's anything in particular that you're really looking for or wanting to hear out of it, what sort of stands out?
This is a big one, because after this one, you start setting your personnel groupings, okay? And that unfortunate call, or, you know, say, hey, look, guy, you're going to be on scout team for a little while. You know, we got to get ready for Oregon. So, you know, all of a sudden you're a third, you're running threes, and then you're not getting reps for a little while. So this is a chance for people to make a move. This isn't be all do all, but this is an important scrimmage. Don't sugarcoat this anyway. Quarterback reps will be cut way down after this one. Ever how they do this, you know, you start looking at that cornerback position opposite of Keely Ringo. We'll have a better feel for that. Which freshman does this staff think, okay, we got to get this kid prepared for Oregon now. Okay. So we got to get him in these reps. So you've had a couple of weeks, you had all summer to do some things. Now it really becomes a season focus after Saturday. This is a big tape. I know Kirby Smart makes that clear to these guys when they walk on the field, yesterday and to a little bit today meetings. And then when they go to that field on Saturday, this is an important scrimmage if you want to be in that travel roster and all those types of things. So this is a big one, Jordan. We understand the scope of it for our users and people that are members on Dogs 247. I will actually be on air when that thing comes off, but I can assure you, I will be talking with Jordan Hill at halftime. I will be getting messages, and we will be comparing notes to get our stuff up together on what we've heard out of the Saturday scrimmage. And really for me, I kind of got answered a little bit yesterday. I wanted to see where Tate Ratledge was, and with the turf toe, because you're talking about a large human now, that thing can linger on you. Does Kendall Milton come back? The freshman running backs, who's kind of taking a step there. You want to see a lot of things, but I think the guard positions, and then you want to see that opposite corner of Keely Ringo, and maybe how much and where does Malachi Starks at early on? Because Malachi Starks is going to be involved in the game plan. But for me to say this guy's going to start game one in Mercedes-Benz, I'm not ready to say that, but he's certainly going to be a valuable piece. And I think Georgia is preparing him to get ready for a true freshman season, and they really need that big, long, athletic, really athletic body in that deep end.
Yeah, with Malachi, I mean, the few times we get, obviously, to watch practice, and it amounts to about 10, 15 minutes, you hear his name,
They're coaching him hard.
Yeah, and I think you made a very good point after that first scrimmage on our board, saying that there's going to be growing pains because, hey, man, this guy was playing high school football this time last year.
Not playing a ton of defense. Oh, by the way, he was hurt too last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot of things go in that, Jordan, as far as he got banged up a little bit this spring. I mean, so he's had limited physical reps. You can give somebody all the mental reps in the world, but those physical reps with Kirby Smart, Fran Brand, and Will Muschamp breathing down your neck every rep saying, what are you doing? Why'd you do this? That's part of the process.
Yeah, and let me tell you, too, you can hear Will Muschamp if you're on that defensive side. And especially, again, going back to when you were talking about Dan Jackson,
yep.
These guys know how to coach the sure. secondary. They know sure. how to get guys in position and know when they've got guys they can count on.
Sure. I trust their evals. Now, Georgia didn't get all of them, but if Georgia offers a DB, especially after he works out, I just step aside and say, look, what Georgia's done, evals with DBs, I trust it. And you take a guy like Chris Peel out of Charlotte, I know he's a major target for Georgia. The industry's kind of mixed on him a little bit. I would lean with that George eval for me and say this is a guy. I mean, they really, really want him as a corner, and we'll see if they get him. But they've worked him out. They know what they've got if they can get him. So that I've kind of taken that policy with the, especially with Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart involved in DBs. I think they got a great, great kind of feel on what they're looking for.
Russ, you hit on most of the positions to me that I'm really intrigued about. When it comes to the second scrimmage, what I want to hear and what I want to try to see, and hopefully, fingers crossed, what we get to watch, probably them stretching before they start that scrimmage. But the only other position that really comes to mind to me or that I'm really intrigued by is defensive line, and really more specifically defensive end, you know, because coming off that first scrimmage, you could kind of tell Kirby was a little bit disappointed in the inability to get after the quarterbacks. You know, he talked about the defensive line kind of needing to step up. And, you know, I think, you know, Jalen Carter, we know what he is. We know what he's capable of. I feel pretty confident Zion Logue is that guy that's going to be beside him. But it's sort of that defensive end position where, you know, they've moved to Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, who, you know, isn't necessarily a natural defensive end. And, you know, watching a little bit of Thursday's practice, obviously seeing Michael Williams, Tramiel Walthour, those guys seem like it's still, you know, a very big opportunity for them. And again, going into that second scrimmage, very intrigued to see what that end position looks like because, you know, as good as we know Jalen Carter is, and, you know, I think all the hype is warranted and all the talk about what he can be, but he's not going to be able to do it alone. They're going to need guys around him to step up. And that, to me, that end position is going to be crucial.
Those guys count on each other. Last year, Jordan Davis created the ability to have a lot of one-on-ones on the outside. Jordan Davis created a lot of ability to allow N'Kobe Dean and those guys to blitz, knowing it was going to be one-on-one with a guard when they got there, one-on-one with a running back. So Georgia needs those guys to schematically help themselves. But Jalen Carter is a top five draft pick. I'll say it. I mean, he is, this guy is different now. I mean, this guy is special. And, you know, I said it last year and I was wrong. I thought he'd be the first player drafted out of all those guys, but Trayvon Walker went number one. So nobody's beating him. But Jalen Carter as a defensive lineman, I looked at the odds the other day. You know, if there's a team that winds up, say Jacksonville winds up with the number one again, they don't need a quarterback. There's an opportunity. You know, they've taken Trayvon Walker. Maybe they don't take a Will Anderson. There's an outside chance if somebody needs an interior guy that Jalen Carter could make a move. And it's hard to go over a quarterback. But if somebody that gets one, say Chicago, because Chicago's roster is terrible. I mean, it's terrible. It's the only game in the whole season the Falcons are favored right now. They're not going to draft a quarterback. So could Jalen Carter wind up being a guy for the Bears? You know, so this guy's got a chance, man. But I feel certain right now, talking to everybody, this guy goes in the top five right now. He is a different dude.
I think somebody may wind up being really lucky because it feels like this 2023 draft is going to be quarterback heavy and also several teams that are going to need quarterbacks. So someone who picks fourth, fifth, sixth, hell, they may wind up getting the best player of the whole group.
Yeah, no kidding. So I think as Jordan talks about, Tennessee missed out on a couple of players right there, our little producer. But when you look at what Chicago could be an opportunity. So I want to answer one more question to you while we're on this. Jordan Harris asked, when's the next commitment or upcoming commitment date? So without giving too much, because I always kind of treat this as a parent, what I want to say, I have talked to a major target for Georgia. And I think he is getting ready at some point to make his decision to go public. And that person would be in the 2023 class, but right now there's no set date. And nobody's going to be pissed off about this one, I can assure you. I'm fortunate it's not a kicker or a punter, so don't start the message boards. I don't want to get – it's not a perfect Friday for me. But, you know, there's a couple of guys I think that could make decisions here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Again, this is all new to me, too. We're all learning with these kids, these players now. Some are coming public, some are not, and those types of things. So I feel certain Georgia is going to end up still with a really, really, really good class. You just kind of want to see where they're going to go to me with the running backs. Where are they going to go with that for this particular class? All those things will be answered in time. And I did say last night on a recruiting chat on the Dogs 247 site, I do those recruiting chats, try to do at least once a week, a little Ask Rusty. And, I, you know, look, we're always going to talk about Justice Haynes because that was just one of the biggest shockers ever. But I will say on the other end, I feel very, very confident in Dale McGee. And I feel like Georgia is always going to have productive running backs at the University of Georgia. I'm also very confident this is a passing world now. So you got to get out there and get those wide receivers. You see what's getting drafted in the first round? It's not running backs. It's wide receivers. And that's the difference in 2015 and 2022. You got to have them three or four dudes on the edge that are making plays that are game changers. But I do feel certain no matter what portion of the season game that Georgia's going to have productive running backs.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's just been sort of the tradition. And even especially since this staff has got on, Dale McGee has continued to find guys knows what he's looking for. Before we get out of here, Rusty, again, kind of going back to the Georgia high school scene, is there anyone in particular you're really interested in seeing out of this first week, whether it's a player that intrigues you or even some of these matchups that you've talked about, games or players that you're really interested in hearing a little bit more about after this week?
Well, I think the buzz after Wednesday night was the Kale quarterback. And look, yes, I did know some about him. Obviously, I know the baseball side of that with him. But when you watch him and you watch what he plays, his name is Bryce Clavin. He is a 2024 quarterback. He moved from Dutchtown to Kale High School. He was committed to Oklahoma in baseball, and he backed off a month ago. Everybody I talked to outside of that circle for him says he is a top five baseball pick. He is a freaky shortstop. I actually went and watched some of his stuff on his Twitter. And you want to talk about making some plays in the hole up the middle. I mean, this kid is special. Now, I will say this, that they assured me that he is legit interest in football. He's going to get the Justin Fields comparisons. And I'll tell you why, because he plays two sports. He's in Cobb County and he's wearing number one. Now, you know, I people were texting me Wednesday night. Oh, my God, this is Justin Fields. This guy's crazy. How good is this guy? So, you know, I'm real cautious because we got a small sample with him. But if you want to know a name that a lot of eyes now will be on, and does he really want to play football? Because I know his heart is probably in it, but there's going to be a couple of commas in this baseball draft at some point. He's going to have to make a decision on it. You know, I'm just excited that, you know, we got another guy, another quarterback pop up in the state, get a chance to cover him. He's not quite as big as Justin Fields. So that's where I kind of want to back it off. And when you see Justin in person, you know, this is a 6'3", 220-pound man. He's not that big. I mean, he kind of looks like that Kyler Murray build. You know, he's a 5'10 and a half, 5'11 guy, but he is very athletic. He's got a great arm and true dual threat. So that's a guy that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in to watch as the season goes on and what's his future like and what decisions he has to make.
Yeah, definitely going to be something to watch. And I couldn't help but think of Kyler Murray, you know.
That's kind of, yep. Mm-hmm.
And especially maybe Billy Bean over there with the athletics is going to get a feel for this guy, be watching out for him.
Well, so, he's a top five pick now. I talked to a lot of people, and they say this guy. He moved to Kale because East Cobb is directly, I mean, it is in the parking lot of Kale High School. So he plays for the East Cobb Astros, plays for the number one team. I mean, this guy's a true two-sport athlete.
If you're from the state of Georgia, you know East Cobb baseball is no joke. That is top of the line.
No doubt.
Well, all right, well, we're going to get out of here. I know Rusty's got a busy day ahead. He may go take a nap before this thing gets kicked off.
Too late. Hey, I'll tell you this. Appreciate all the kind words, all the text messages, everything for everybody's tuned in. And yes, I do look a hell of a lot better with makeup on TV. So I got that message the other day, and I appreciate that for probably one of our subscribers. So a lot of games that start 2:30 today, and we'll have games all night, all weekend from Mercedes-Benz on Saturday. Ton of Georgia targets there. So look forward to it, man. It's always fun, but I'm going to need some prayers from you guys on this one.
We're going to be watching, and we'll be tuned in supporting you all the way, Rusty.
Thank you. Thank you.
So on that note, we're going to get out of here. Appreciate Rusty taking some time to hop on. Appreciate everybody watching and listening. Make sure and subscribe. Tell all your friends about it. Let them know about the podcast. So we'll get out of here on that. For Rusty Mansell, I am Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.